In the book of Luke, if you would, this morning, Luke chapter 4 is where we'll find ourselves. And you say, Luke chapter 4? I thought we were doing the book of Nehemiah. We are. But sometimes I just get these crazy things in me. And I thought, you know what? We've been doing a series on Sunday nights on wonder-working power, the miracles of Christ. And some of you aren't able to be there for that service, because of your job, or maybe you can't drive at night, whatever it is. Hopefully it's a legitimate reason, all right? So I thought, well, since they can't come, I'm just going to set aside our Nehemiah study, and I'm bringing the Sunday evening service to you. So this message is what you would be missing if you weren't here tonight. But you're still going to miss a message, right? You just don't know what it's going to be on tonight. But I wanted to bring the evening message to the morning service. And if some of you might think, well, hey, we're already having the evening message, we don't have to come back afterwards. But that's not how it works, all right? But I want you to notice with me, we're going to be looking at one of the miracles of Christ, which I would be, and I'll probably be preaching on Nehemiah this evening. So if you want to keep up with those, they are being recorded. John does a great job, puts them on the website, and you can listen to those, whether it be the Sunday school or whatever it may be, morning or evening. Luke chapter 4, I want you to read with me a real short passage of Scripture here in verse number 38 and 39. And notice the setting that takes place here. We're in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue, talking about Jesus, and he entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. She was not able to make it to synagogue that day, evidently. She was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you for your preserving them and leaving them for us to take today and have on our laps and to hear in our ears. And I pray to receive them into our hearts. This lesson that you would have for us, dear Father, that you would add your blessing upon it, that you would glorify yourself through it, and may it minister to where we are at today and give us hope, give us comfort, give us encouragement and great joy that we have such a friend in Jesus. And we'll be sure to thank you for it even now. In Jesus' name, amen. It was this day of the synagogue. The Jews were, it would be their church service. And as they ended their service, the Bible tells us that Simon, and by the way, you can see it's scriptural to invite people to your house after a church service, you know. So Simon says, Lord, why don't you come to our house? And as they get there, evidently Peter's mother-in-law, they don't give what her name was. We just know that it's Peter's wife. So he was a married pope, right? Which they're not supposed to be, but he was. He has a mother-in-law, which y'all understand that, right? You can't have a mother-in-law unless you're married. And so he has a mother-in-law, and she didn't make it to church that day or synagogue because she had a fever. So there are legitimate reasons why sometimes we can't make it because of health issues. But here in Luke 48, we read that Simon Peter's mother-in-law was in great need. She didn't just have a fever. The Bible says that she had a great fever. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want you to notice what happens here. Family members realized the need was far greater than what they could do, they could help her with. There's so much that we can do to help those that are sick. We can give them a cold, wet rag. We can give them some aspirin. We can give them some types of medication. But they realized the need was far greater than that they could actually care for. This wasn't just a small fever. This was a great fever that Jesus records for us here. And so what do? They do the right thing. They sought out Christ. They sought for Jesus Christ, not for themselves, but for someone else. We call this today interceding. They were interceding on the behalf of Peter's mother-in-law that Jesus would come in and do something for her. That's the power of interception. How do you say it, everybody?
Intersection,
all right. Interceding, all right. So Jesus is coming up because he was requested. Now I want you to notice something. This is someone that they love. How many of y'all have loved ones? Amen? And sometimes God will allow situations into our lives. So we're going to talk about today that they besought him, they besought Christ for her. And when Peter and his family sought for Christ, he miraculously healed Peter's mother-in-law. The Bible says in verse 39, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. He walks in, he sees the woman, he walks over to her, he rebukes the fever. Now the word rebuke here is very important because Jesus rebukes many things in Scripture. And we're surprised by some of the things that he does rebuke. But the word rebuke here means simply, I forbid you to continue. That's pretty good. And so he walks over to Peter's mother-in-law and he forbids the fever to maintain itself and it goes away immediately. Now it's interesting that Jesus does that several times throughout Scripture. The Bible tells us that there was a time when they were out at sea, remember? And there was a storm raging. The disciples were full of fear. They sought Christ. He rose up from his sleep and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And they knelt down and they became ice. He told the storm to cease. He told the fever, that's enough. Another time when we see Christ in Matthew 17, he rebukes the devil. I like that, amen? He said, you're done. It's enough. And then we see also that, believe it or not, he rebukes foul spirits, but there's even a time when God, listen, rebuked Peter. Sometimes God has to rebuke us and say, you know what, that is enough. Sometimes we get into things and do things that God has to say, that's enough, stop. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is in the little tiny book of Jude. And in the book of Jude, remember that Satan was Lucifer one time. He was a covering cherub. So when we look into heaven and we see the throne of God, there were two, as Isaiah saw them, two angelic beings, two cherubims that were crying out, holy and holy. I believe Lucifer was one of those cherubs, those shining beings who used to glorify and magnify God. And then he became a fallen angel known as Lucifer, became Satan and the devil. And there was a time when he came. And by the way, there was a replacement for him. I believe it was Michael. I believe Michael was the replacement. He's the other archangel. There's Michael and Gabriel. And there was a time when the Bible tells us in the Gospel of, or in the book of Jude, that Michael was standing Satan. Satan was wanting to know, they were arguing over the body of Moses. You remember, God buried Moses. No man knows where Moses was placed. And the devil knows if I can pull up the body of Moses, man, I can get people to fall into idolatry that quick over that body. And so they were arguing over, disputing over the body of Moses. And as he's bringing accusations against Michael, Michael could have said, you worthless, no good, you foul spirit. He could have went on. But you know what Michael said? He just listened to him and finally he just said, the Lord rebuke thee. You know, we don't have to get into any contending with the devil ourselves. We just need to say, the Lord rebuke thee. So we see that time and time again, Christ was used to rebuke various things from the devil to foul spirits to storms, folks, to sicknesses. Now I want us to consider a couple of things here this morning as we look at this two-verse setting. And the first thing I want you to see, and this is very important in this first point, is the ministry of sickness. The ministry of sickness. The Bible says that Peter's mother-in-law had a great fever. A great fever. How many of you have ever had a fever before? Raise your hand. A fever is an uncomfortable thing. A fever is defined as an abnormal condition of the body characterized by undue rise in temperature, quickening of the pulse and disturbance of various body functions. Our body was created by God to operate at 98.6 degrees around there. And that's the temperature that you usually want. Anything that goes over 98.6 is considered a fever. The Bible says that her fever was a great fever. We've had children get their fevers go up from 98.6 to 99 to 100 to 101. But a great fever, he says, is what she had. And the word that he uses here is very important. It is the word great. And great is this fever. This sickness wasn't just a 99 temperature. The word great in the New Testament Greek is the word mega. We get the word megabytes, megaphone. When we think of mega, we think of something that's great and mighty. When you talk about megabytes in a computer, you're talking about the word mega is 1 million units of measure. In other words, she had a fever that was deadly. It wasn't just a small fever. This would take her life if Jesus Christ does not intervene. And praise God for people who will intercede on someone who needs Christ to come into the picture. This great fever was what we would call a mega fever. Did you know at the temperature of 107.6, you begin to go into brain damage? Your brain literally begins to fry at 107.6. Folks, we are very frail beings. But I want you to come back now to this here, because the Bible says that his mother-in-law's fever was a great fever. And I want you to notice something here very importantly. This great fever helped her. It helped her and it helped others who loved her to recognize they have a greater need, and that was Jesus Christ. This great fever helped them to recognize their need of the Lord. When we think of God getting our attention sometimes, often He touches us or He touches someone that we love in order to work thoroughly in us. You see, sometimes God will allow a situation to arise. It could be a sickness. It could be a variety of other things that are troubling to us or to someone else. And God has permitted these things into our lives to cause us to call upon and to come to Him by faith. And that's exactly what this fever did. They had just come home from church and they need to not leave Jesus at church. We need to be with Jesus wherever He is so that we can call upon Him at any hour of the day. And sometimes I want to tell you that there are things that are coming into your life, mega things that come into your life. It may be your children. It may be your a parent. It may be your spouse. Something will come into your life that you don't have on your calendar of events, that you didn't put there by appointment. And it'll come into your life. And God is using it to help you, to help me, to help the person that it may be happening to draw us all closer to the Lord. How many of you have ever had a situation where God brought you where you were praying a lot different than you normally pray because of something coming into your life? And that's exactly what happens. This is what we call the ministry of sickness. It's interesting. God speaks to us many times by using the ministry of sickness. One of the verses of Scripture in the Old Testament, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 67, He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." You see, sometimes God uses things to get our attention to come back to Him or to draw closer to Him, to become more intimate with Him. And David is saying in Psalm 119, there was a time in my life where here's the way that I'm supposed to go. This is the Word of God. And I was going this way. I was going astray. And then God, You brought affliction into my life that brought me back on the right path because of Your love for me. Sometimes we go astray. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And sometimes God will bring something that quick into our life. It can be a knock on the door. It can be a phone call. I have a younger sister who one night received a knock on the door, and she goes, it was early in the morning. She goes, those usually aren't the good kind of knocks on the door that you want. She goes to the door, and there is a sheriff standing there. She knew it was bad news right off the bat. Folks, a knock on the door can come at any hour of the day or night. unexpectedly. And she finds out that her oldest son was in a car accident and was deceased. That's a storm. That's not a good situation. But God was using that situation for her, as well as all of us that were involved, to draw us closer to the Lord, to get our attention. He uses the ministry of sickness. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. I think that the Lord wants us to see that the things He allows, and by the way, He does allow things. The things that He allows are not acts of cruelty. They are acts of compassion and they are acts of mercy. Because there's no better place to be than next to the Lord in a time of crisis. Jesus has a ministry in sickness. It's interesting that there was a story that's revealed to us in John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, there is another miracle that takes place. And in John chapter 9, there is a man who was blind. He couldn't see. I mean, even when I close my eyes, even tightly, I can still see light coming in. He was in complete darkness. And the Bible says that he was born blind. When we had our first child, he was premature. And after we had concerns with him and doctor's visits, my wife, I was at work one day, she had to take him in for one of his visits, and they said, your son has some problems and he will probably eventually go blind. And so, you know, you're 21 years old. Oh, okay, you write that down, take notes on that, you know. And then she gets into the elevator, and all of a sudden it hits her what that could entail. And she breaks down and starts weeping, and we commit him to the Lord. We take him to the church. They pray. The guy's doing fine. Never lost. He has eyes issues, but he drives as good as anybody out here in Texas, right? So, that have good vision, all right? And but it brings you to this place. And it's interesting because the disciples asked an important question in John 9. They asked Jesus, said, Master, is this man blind because of his sin? Or because of his parents' sin? Who did sin? You know, sometimes things happen not because there's any sin involved. Now, there's no question. I believe that sometimes we receive things because of sin. I believe when we did a teaching on the pool of Bethesda, where that man was lame and could not get in, and Jesus told him to rise up and walk. Jesus found him later in the synagogue. And Jesus tells him, he says, now you go out and do things, and if you... How did that verse go? And sin no more, because lest a greater thing come upon you. I think when Jesus said that, he was letting us know maybe on the inside that maybe that guy's situation was because of sin. And in spite of our sin, God can heal and raise us up for His glory. But sometimes not all sickness, not all bad things are because we're being chastened. And Jesus turned to the disciples when they said, who has sinned, this man or his parents? He says, neither. But for the glory of God. Now I want you to think about this. Because God, Jesus didn't become Jesus. He had been eternity past. God, the Trinity, was there. So however far eternity past goes. And we're still traveling back that way. And all of a sudden, it doesn't stop. There was a time when God knew that He would create all things, and that in this time frame of life on this globe, there would be this man who would be born to this parents, and God knew that he was going to be born blind because sin had entered into the world and the curse, and that he was going to be glorified because of him being born blind. Not because of sin in their lives, but because God just says, I'm just going to glorify myself through this guy. Oh, may God get glory through us. Amen? May he receive glory. Now, again, I want you to notice, I don't think that there's any sin involved here. God just has a way of drawing us closer to him when he thinks that we need to be closer than we are. God can use sickness to do a mighty work and to bring great glory to himself. You know what? There are many people today many people would not be living for God today if it was not for the ministry of sickness. There are people that would not be living for God had God not intervened in His love and compassion and brought something into their life to get them back on track. Before I went astray, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I'm back on the right track. Folks, it's good to walk with God. Why? God wants you, if, as a child of God, He wants us to walk humbly with our God, Micah 6:8 says. That I would do justly, that I would love mercy, and that I would walk humbly with my God. God wants us to walk. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He wants to walk with us. And when we veer off the path, He will do what's necessary to bring us back on the path. You might as well just stay with Him and avoid the unnecessaries of life. Amen? So we see the ministry of sickness. Is God touching your life today? Maybe He's touching the life of someone that you love and He's trying to use it to bring you closer to Him. I would almost say, I could, just knowing the world that we live in, all of us have a burden or burdens in our own lives or in the lives of someone that we love that we would hope that God will do something in changing that, that He will step in and bring glory to Himself in it. I mean, I can say right now there are some burdens on my heart. You see, just because you're in the pulpit doesn't mean these things don't happen. And there are things that even in our lives that God is using to help Althea and myself to draw closer to Him in prayer. Because you know what? There is nothing that we can do about it. So Jesus uses this ministry of prayer. The next thing I want you to see here, secondly, is not only do we have the ministry of sickness, but we have the ministry of the Savior. We need to understand that Christ is interested in every part of your life and mine. He's interested in every part of our lives. The Bible tells us in Luke 19 and 10 that Jesus came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He's interested in the eternal souls of mankind. He wants to save us by His grace through faith. But it doesn't stop there. When you and I are born again, we see that God is interested now in every aspect of our life. Just as the potter is working the clay on the wheel, He's working on the outside, applying pressure, but He also sticks His hand inside that clay and applies pressure from the inside as well. He's molding us and He's making us after as His will, that we might be vessels fit for the Master's use. In Matthew chapter 8, if you would flip over to there, I want you to read with me the account here in Matthew chapter 8, how Matthew records the same exact story that we just read in Luke. Luke says that he stood over her and that he rebuked the fever. And then in Matthew, we read in verse number 8, the same setting, verse number 14, he adds a little bit more here. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose up and ministered unto them. So when we combine the two stories together, we have Luke says he stood over her, Matthew says that he stood by her, and then he touched her hand, and then Luke says he rebuked the fever. Which one's right? They both are. They both are. Jesus walked up to Peter's mother-in-law, stood over her, and in compassion he grabbed onto her hand. How many of you have ever done that to a sick person? You just reach over and you grab onto him, and then he simply rebuked the fever and helped her up from that moment. And the Bible says here, in our setting here, in Matthew, that she ended up beginning to minister to them. Now, not only did our Savior walk into the room, not only did He stand by the one in need, not only did He reach out and touch her, there's nothing like the touch of God on the life of a person. But he spoke not to her, but to the fever. You ever talked to a fever before? I mean, I know that if you get sick enough, you get pretty delirious. But he spoke to the fever, and the fever departed. It's interesting, when you read in Isaiah 53, that's one of the great Old Testament passages, but in Isaiah 53, it reports there that he bore our sins and our griefs. He took all of that upon himself. And here we see, this is exactly that, when he rebukes it, it leaves, it ceases to be. He is fulfilling what he said he would be doing all the way back in Isaiah 53. Not only the removing of our sins, but removing us of the sicknesses and all those diseases, and carrying those burdens and bearing our griefs. He not only walked in as a house, stood there, he also bore the grief and the sorrow and the sickness with that family. We have been in many hospital rooms at various times and various stages of sickness over the years. I'm sure Brother Wallace can talk about this, going into people's homes and families. You're not just going in there to be there. You're going in there to be a part of it. You are taken in. And that's exactly what Jesus expects us to be a part of by following His example. Not only do we minister to people many times, but we comfort them with the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted of God. You see, any of our sicknesses are no mistake. Any of our troubles and tribulations that we go through are no mistake. God wants to use you, after what you've gone through, to be used by Him to help others that are going through that as well. I want you to notice with me in Luke chapter 4, again, verse 39. Notice what it says here. And he stood over and rebuked the spirit, and it left her. And look at the word immediately. And immediately it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered to them. We see the ministry of sickness. We see the ministry of the Savior. But I want you to notice something here. We see the ministry of the saved. How many of you are saved today? Say amen. Amen. How many of you have gone through a trial or a tribulation, an affliction, a sickness that was not pleasant? Or you went through one with someone that you love. Maybe it was your parent. Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was a dear friend. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was just someone that you knew, you associated with at work, whatever. And you're saved, and God says, there's a ministry for the saved here. Notice what Peter's mother-in-law did when Jesus healed her. She's a sick saint that's been healed by the Savior. And the Bible says that once He healed her, she arose and ministered. She arose and ministered. Now, you need to sit around for a couple of days, get better. I'll tell you what, when Jesus heals you, He heals you, folks. He heals you immediately, and He heals you thoroughly. But the Bible says here that she arose and ministered unto them because of what the Lord had done for her. She served Him by ministering to others. Whatsoever you do, we are to do all in the name of the Lord. And Jesus wants us to rise up and be healed. I believe in the book of James. Y'all believe in the book of James? The book of James is a New Testament book, correct? And a lot of people say, well, we don't believe that. That's Old Testament. Well, we can debate on that, but we are in the New Testament. The book of James is in the New Testament. And James makes it very clear, is there any sick among you? Let them call the elders, the pastor, the leadership of the church. So when they call for the elders, they come and they are to pray over that person. And it says, and the prayer of faith shall save that person and shall heal them. A lot of churches today, New Testament churches, don't believe that New Testament principle. I believe the book of James is absolutely correct. I want you to understand the process of it. If I have somebody in my family that is very, very sick, before I... And please, there's a time and a place for all things. Doctors, medicines, all of those things. There's a time and a place. Matter of fact, when Paul was on the doing his missionary route, God made sure that he had Luke with him. And what was Luke's?
A doctor.
He was a doctor. Paul was going to need a doctor constantly from the beatings and the scourgings and all those things. So there's a time for that. But there's also a time when there was a situation that's severe enough that we don't know what to do. And before we call the doctor, we should call the elders of the church. That's just me. I believe that. That's faith. God said it. I'm going to honor it and see what He does. We've had several people where we, over the years, have had call for the leadership of the church. The leadership of the church comes. We look at their sickness, and some of them are not good. Even from the situations of a young lady who could have no children. Years they had been married. Years they had tried. And they called for the elders one day. We came in, prayed a specific prayer. We didn't pray all the way for all the missionaries during that time. We pray, bless the missionaries, and Lord, and give us a good thank you for the weather. We didn't pray. We prayed specifically for the need. And we took that need and brought it to her. And 9 months later, a year later, she was with child. It's a biblical principle. Now, some of us can have babies whenever we want. We used to be anyway, you know. And that was not an issue. But when you can't have a child, I think of Hannah, who was in great sorrow. That was a great thing for her. It was a great thing for this. But I want to tell you that when people come and are asking, I want the leadership to come and pray for me, we will first always find out, because sickness is usually for one of three things. Number one, it can be for chastening. God may have brought this chastening onto you because you are in sin and He's trying to get you to bring you to a place of repentance and confession. Has God brought any sins to your mind that you think may be tied that you have not confessed to this? And by the way, understand something. Not everything that God brings to our mind might not make sense. That's why you're chastening me? I think we misunderstand. Well, I've got cancer because, well, I've never smoked. That might not be why. Think about the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth, when Paul was writing to them, made mention that there were some among them that were sick and many that slept. They died. There was sickness in the church and people were dying in the church. And you know what it was from? They were abusing the Lord's Supper. What? How many of us would have come up with that on our own? We don't ever take the spiritual that we're neglecting and abusing and tie it into the physical. So we want to make sure that when somebody calls for the elders, they understand that there could be a reason that God is bringing this on you, and it could be for chastening. The second reason is what we would call not only the sickness unto chastisement, but there's a sickness unto death. By the way, outside of the rapture, every one of us will go through that. Young and old alike. 327 deaths already on the state highway this year. 2 months, over 300 people killed driving. Just driving out here on these roads. Sickness unto death. A quick sickness, by the way. And then there's the sickness unto the glory of God. We saw that with the blind man. God just wants to get glory out of it. But here's what I'm getting at. I try to get the people to think about what sickness this is. If it's sin, let's get it taken care of. If it's unto death, there's nothing we can do about it. If it's for the glory of God, there's going to be a healing also that takes place. Now the question is, and this is a question that I ask everyone when I'm talking with them in these settings. You have called for the elders. You've done the scriptural right thing. Question, what profit will the Lord have from Him healing your body? We see Peter's mother-in-law, because of what he did, rose up and began to minister in the name of Christ. Is there going to be any change on your impacting other people's lives if He heals you? And folks, we need to think about that. Sometimes we want the healing without doing anything afterwards. I just want to be made whole and back on my road again and living the way I was before. And God may have brought you to this place to make you a better servant. A better servant. Turn, if you would, I'm almost done here. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1. And so what we're getting at here, folks, is you may be going through some areas here where you're beseeching the Lord for something in your life, or you're beseeching God for something in somebody else's life. There's more to it than that. There's a ministry involved that God is preparing you for. Look what it says here in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As I'm going through this time of sickness, whether it's me or the situation that I'm praying for, God is a God of all comfort. He's a God of mercies. And as He gets us through this time, He wants us to take what we went through, the purpose that He used it to draw us closer to Him, and to be on lookout that if there's someone else in the church that's going through something like this, that you can go and sit down alongside them and encourage them and comfort them with what God comforted you with back here. When we were in New Hampshire, I had a lady, when I first took over the church, that wasn't coming to church. She had gotten sideways with the previous pastor and just was out of church. And we went by several times to talk with her, try to encourage her, come back to the Lord. Not come back to the church, come back to the Lord. And she would not do it. About 4 or 5 months, maybe a year even later, one of the ladies on a Sunday comes up and greets me. She says, Pastor, you know so-and-so, you've gone to see her several times. Yep. She just found out she got diagnosed with cancer. And it's pretty severe. And she would like for you to come by and visit with her. Number one, please don't misunderstand me. Why do we wait when we know that we need to be doing the right thing? But she goes, she wants you to come by and visit with her. And about that time that she was telling me, there was another woman who was a little bit older that was standing there listening, and they both were, she knew her as a good friend. She was familiar with her. And I said, well, she really doesn't want me to come. Oh, no, she does. She said, could you have the pastor come? I said, no, I know that that's what she said, but that's not what she really means. She goes, what? I said, what she needs is someone who understands her. I said, let me give you an example. I said, Lori, you are a dear, dear friend of hers. She shares everything with you, correct? Absolutely. She needs a good friend, number one. I said, Margaret, you know her? I know her a little bit. I said, Margaret, you can't help like she can, but she can't understand like you can because you've had the same cancer that she has. I said, I will go, but she needs you two to go. A good, dear friend and someone who has sat where she sat. That's a lot better than the preacher sometimes, folks. Doesn't mean the preacher doesn't go. It doesn't mean the preacher doesn't pray. We did go. But that wasn't near as effective as someone who had been there, who could sit down and understand exactly what she felt, her emotions and her needs and her burden. Sometimes God has a ministry of sickness, a ministry of affliction. He'll be there. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all mercy. And He'll take us through those times, maybe for chastening, maybe just for His glory. But if He raises up from those situations, if we can look back on some things that God brought us through, we have to be looking for opportunities how we can go out and be used and be like Peter's mother-in-law, that we rise up and minister to others. Don't let a good sickness go to waste. God, help us all to be alert to what God is wanting to do in my life and in the lives of those around us. And don't get upset. There's a situation right now in my life that I can get into the flesh with. Anybody ever have that problem? Is it just the preacher? I can get in my flesh really like that. And I have to be in the Spirit. And I have to say, Lord, if you let me, you said vengeance is mine, I will repay. If you'll let me take over that part, I'll do a good job. God doesn't want us to do anything. He just wants us to kneel down before Him, call upon Him, bring the situation to Him, and wait and trust Him so that He can show Himself mighty on our behalf for His glory and for our good. Let's pray. Our Father, we humbly come before Thee this morning, and You have a ministry of sickness where You allow afflictions and troubles and trials and tribulations, Lord, to come into the life of Your people. Even Peter had it in his own family. And there may be folks today, dear Father, right now, You have brought things to mind that they are having trials and testings. And Lord, these are not to be just simply viewed as something that's happening. These are planned purposes that You have permitted to come into our lives to draw us ever so close to You. Maybe it's to intercede for others even and ask for Your intervention, dear Father. Whatever the needs are today, may we commend them over to You and trust in You. And maybe You're using it, dear Father, because we've gone astray. Maybe we're not walking with You right now. And You're going to bring this and You've allowed this affliction to come. May we come and return unto You and walk once again humbly with our God. And Lord, we just pray that You'd add Your blessing upon it and help us, dear Father, to be used by You in ways that perhaps others cannot because of what You've taken us through. We'll be sure to give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.